Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, the Braves send a message to the clubhouse as they're in a playoff race. Was it too strong? We'll discuss coming up here on the show in approximately 15 minutes from now. Antonio Brown, pretty close to being reprimanded right now by the Raiders, as Mike Mayock, now the GM, says that it's time for AB to be in or out. Already getting frustrated by Antonio Brown's nonsense, and we're not even midway now through the preseason, 3 weeks away from the regular season opening up. And that clearly showed the frustration level of the Raiders, which in some ways, what took you so long? They've tried to have a stiff upper lip. They've tried to take the company line, and it's now hit the place where they can't deal with it anymore. And on the one hand, I do not feel bad for them because they signed up for this mess. It wasn't like people around the NFL didn't know Antonio Brown was a mess and a distraction. So I can't feel bad for him there. But at the same time, I do empathize with the fact that Antonio Brown was given $31 million and he's still not happy enough to be on the football field. And I have to say that the old adage, you sleep with dogs, you get fleas. You know, for an organization like the Raiders that has always seemingly had a distraction here, a player upset there, an owner that was too trigger happy, endless dysfunction within that organization, they had hired John Gruden to seemingly strip it of that. I think that's what the Raiders wanted. I think Mark Davis wanted a healthier, straighter organization going into Las Vegas, I think. And yet, they brought in one of the biggest distractions in football, and now they got it. And they're not even into Labor Day weekend yet, and they're already having to essentially issue ultimatums to their best player. This is not a good place to be. And for Antonio Brown, I have to admit, I don't know what this is about. And I say that as though that's breaking news. I don't think anybody really knows what it's about because it might not be about the helmet. That's the thing with AB. This might not have to do with the helmet. It is distinctly possible that Antonio Brown is embarrassed or paranoid or nervous about his feet that he burned to a crisp in the cryotherapy tent, can't play on him, and is using this helmet thing as a distraction for why he can't actually play. But in reality, maybe he knows his feet are burnt and he can't go out there right now and play for more than a couple of series and walkthroughs. Maybe. I don't know. But that's on the table. What is also on the table is, and I don't say this lightly, that Antonio Brown has bizarre, intermittent inconsistent behavioral problems or mental issues where one day he thinks this, the next day he thinks that. And he is kind of caught in this in-between, which is forcing an inaction. Because he just tweeted the other day that he's ready to rejoin the Raiders and that Raiders fans should be excited and he's excited. And then the next day after that, he doesn't report to camp. And it is such an impossible prediction for the Raiders that they're already at wit's end to say, you've got to be all in. You got to declare what you're doing here, AB. I mean, it might just be that he's paralyzed by overanalysis or just a brainwave that goes one way or the other way any given day. It is possible Antonio Brown is testing his boundaries. He wants to see where the boundaries are with the Raiders, kind of like a three-year-old does. Will I get in trouble for this? I'm going to throw the spoons down the stairs. Am I going to get in trouble for it? I'm going to paint on the wall with my fingers. Am I going to get in trouble for that? I'm going to knock down this entire shelf worth of candy. Do I get in trouble for that? That might be Antonio Brown here, just kind of testing the waters to see where he gets in trouble with his new team. Because the whole idea was, okay, while he was a problem in Pittsburgh, it had run its course. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger wasn't a great leader. Maybe Mike Tomlin let it get too sideways. And maybe he just needed to be loved because the Steelers don't usually pay anybody. And the Steelers have this weird thing with Roethlisberger where they consider him the adult, quote unquote, and everybody else the kids. And maybe he just needs a new place. And as soon as he gets paid, he's going to be fine, right? We all thought that Antonio Brown gets paid and that he plays nice with you until he wants to get paid the next time. I mean, he just got $31 million and he's still impossible to predict. There's no way to know why AB's doing this. There is no way to know. And that's what makes it really scary from a football standpoint because it's totally unpredictable. And I have to say, I don't think Antonio Brown's stupid. I don't think he's intellectually void. But watching his interviews and what he tweeted and his commentary since the end of last year, I think pretty consistently my thought was, this guy's just not all there right now. He's just not all there. He's saying one thing. He's saying another thing. He's lashing out at this person, lashing out at this franchise. What's his end game here? He's totally unpredictable. And the Raiders are finding that out in a really hard way at a very early juncture. So that's John Gruden. How about Jay Gruden? Because Colt McCoy is not likely going to be ready for week one of the NFL season. Jay Gruden said that his quarterback, quote, it might be 2 or 3 weeks into the season. We don't know yet. There's no timetable for him until he feels like he's 100% to push off that leg. Until that time comes, he's going to be rehabbing. I have to say that this Washington quarterback situation is really, it's professional negligence by Jay Gruden. Because last year, Alex Smith snapped his leg in a Joe Theismann-esque injury. And as soon as it happened, people asked the question, will Alex Smith ever play football again? Is this a career ender like Theismann? At the very least, we knew Alex Smith was out for this year. That was bare minimum. The hope was he actually gets to play football again, but at least he's going to be out this year. So Colt McCoy comes in, and Colt McCoy gets injured almost immediately. Almost immediately when he comes in to be the starter. And Washington had felt relatively comfortable. Alex Smith went down, but you know what? We've got Colt McCoy. He knows the offense. We're somewhat comfortable and confident with him in there. And then he gets injured almost immediately. And two starting quarterbacks down. It's the end of the season, the second half of the season. You know what? One would imagine that at that point in time, the Washington coaching staff, which returned, would be thinking about 2019. We've lost two quarterbacks here. Let's make sure that we try to finish out strong, but let's not be delusional. Let's just make sure We're setting ourselves up for success down the road. And instead, they pushed Colt McCoy back too soon. Now think about how ridiculous this is. They were pushing him back for a quote-unquote playoff run. They finished 7-9. They finished 7-9. To push Colt McCoy back when you're a sub 500 team to quote unquote try to make the playoffs or make a playoff push, you know what that is? That's trying to save your own ass. That's trying to save your job. That was Jay Gruden trying to make sure that he kept his job. Because the long play is, hey, we're not going to force Colt McCoy back because he's our starting quarterback next year. No matter what happens to the draft, no matter what happens to free agency, we feel comfortable with Colt McCoy. We know Alex Smith is done next season. He just ripped off his leg. We got to make sure that Colt's ready for next year because he's our guy. And they pushed him back too soon. You know, and that to me is so emblematic of that organization where nobody ever feels comfortable for tomorrow because they're looking over their shoulder today. When Colt McCoy went down, they were 6-6. Forcing him back on a 7-8 team. I mean, they ended up losing 5 of their next 6 games after Alex Smith went down. They were 7-8 or 7-7 going into week 16. And they're trying to bring him back? I mean, what's the use there? What's the use that you need to win the final 2 weeks? You get him back for week 17. You might finish 8-8 and need like 19 tiebreakers to go your way. And then what? You get to the wild card and you get smashed? I mean, think about it. But this is the line of thinking of that organization. And they pushed him back too soon. He wasn't ready. Jay Gruden has now admitted this. And now Colt McCoy has had a million health setbacks since then and won't be ready for the first 2 or 3 weeks of this year because they were trying to save their jobs at the end of last year. So now Case Keenum is going to be your starting quarterback to begin this year. Now look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Colt McCoy was going to make Washington a Super Bowl contender had he started the season, but it is just so Washington. That organization, because of the owner, who employs his friends who are survivalists, the Bruce Allens of the world that just don't want to get fired, that will fire everybody else and blame everybody else and always point the finger so that they stay employed. Jay Gruden was doing the same thing at the end of last season. The coaching staff wanted to make sure that it bought itself another year. Now, it didn't even need to make the playoffs, clearly. They kept him around. But could you imagine trying to force back Colt McCoy for a 7-8 season that ends up at 7-9 or a 7-7 year? Could you imagine risking this year for that payoff? My God. Terrible. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed. He's a bum.
The Braves sent a strong message to one of their best players yesterday. Was it too strong? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24-7.
Speaking of the devil, we was just talking about the DA show. I mean, he looks like somebody that's going to steal your tax money. He looks like a white-collar criminal. You can never trust a dude with good hair like that with 2 buttons down.
2 buttons down is the telltale sign?
Yeah, 1, 2, yeah, you can almost see a sternum.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
How dare you, Bart Scott?
Oh, okay.
And I thought all along we were friends.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio to listen to the DA show and the rest of our wonderful network every single day. And our toll-free line brought to you by Geico at 855-212-4227. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more. On car insurance, Bob is in North Carolina this morning listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Bob.
How you doing, sir? What's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
Well, you know something. I turned on the radio. I caught the last 3 minutes of your last segment, and my God, you sounded like me. Okay, look. I've been a Redskins, well, not so much last. I've kind of lost interest in them the last 3 years. And any Redskins fan you talk to, any other team from any fan from any other team you talk to says, you know something? Dan Snyder has got to go as the owner of this team. I don't care how they got to do it. I do not care how they got to do it. Okay. I got a YouTube channel. And what I want to do is start a blog and get, like, see, I'm not joking around about this. Like, get some kind of campaign going nationwide to get the NFL owners together to motivate, to force this guy out, okay? He's great at fooling people, but you know something? He is totally responsible for every mistake this team has made over the last 20 years, okay? I'll say this, too. Jay Gruden is a half-ass coach. He's not very good anyway, okay? But the Redskins.
Yeah, the problems with the Redskins go well before Jay Gruden was there. I mean, this is why bad owners, poor owners in sports is the worst possible fate in life if you're a sports fan, because you can't wait it out. You know, a bad quarterback, a bad starting pitcher, a bad free agent signing, a bad draft pick, a bad head coach. You wait 5, 10, 15 years, like a Bengals fan trying to wait out Marvin Lewis. That's a long 14 years. But you know eventually he'll leave. He has to. There is no hope when your ownership stinks and the owners don't vote any of themselves out because they're too scared that somebody would do it to them. So once you're in, you can't be taken out unless you do something incredibly racist like Donald Sterling. That's about the only way. And Dan Snyder is a bad owner. He hires bad people. It trickles down throughout the organization. And the sad thing is, 20 years ago, Washington had one of the best football fan bases in the league. Something to behold. 20 years later, because of Dan Snyder, empty seats at every single game. In Atlanta, the Braves are making a run toward the postseason, a very good team this year that's probably overlooked because of the Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers, but the Braves right now have a healthy 5.5-game lead of the National League East over the Washington Nationals. And the rest of the NL East, very interesting, the Nats, the Phillies, the Mets looking for those two wild card slots, but the Braves have been phenomenal all season long. Now, for the Braves, the second-best record of the National League, one of their best players took it easy on a home run trot yesterday, and it bit him in the ass. Ronald Acuna watched his fly ball to right field sail and sail and sail and sail, and he just watched it from the batter's box. Now, Acuna is one of the best players in baseball already. He's phenomenal. But he watched it, admired it, and that ball came down and didn't go over the fence. In fact, it hit at the top of the wall and was still in play, and he ended up getting a really long single out of that. And his manager actually decided, you know what, can't have it. And even though Acuna is one of the best players in baseball, certainly one of the best young players in baseball, Acuna got pulled from the game.
It's not going to be acceptable here. I mean, as a teammate, you're responsible for 24 other guys. And that name on the front is a lot more important than the name on the back of that jersey. And you can't do that. We're trying to accomplish something and do something special here. And personal things got to be put in the back burner. You know, you can't let your team down like that.
Brian Snitker, their manager. Now, the Braves have a healthy lead in that division. The Braves are headed to the playoffs by all intents and purposes, and Ronald Acuna has been great. Yanking him after watching the ball soar, when baseball has said, let the kids play, we don't mind admiring home runs, let them show a little bit of flavor, show a little bit of personality, Mraz, did the Braves overreact sitting Acuna, pulling him out of that game?
No, they did the absolute right thing. And also, I don't know if they do this if they're one game up and maybe they need Acuna in there for some late magic, but they have such a big lead in the division. His stardom has boomed this year beyond belief. Everybody is touting him as the next best thing in baseball. Send him a message. That wasn't acceptable. I have no problem with what Snitker did.
I didn't either. I didn't either because of the way Acuna also responded. Acuna, after the game, said the right thing. Said, I have no problem being benched. I get why it happened. I apologize to Skip. You know, had Acuna battled back, argued with it, moped like a Yasiel Puig situation, you know, then maybe it festers and it becomes a thing and it didn't have to become a thing and you're trying to make the playoffs and he's one of the most important players on your team, your best player. But Acuna seemed to get the message and was okay with it. And so it was the right thing because what it ends up doing is it sets a tone for the entire lineup that we all know how great Acuna is. We all know we have to have him to win anything, but he's not above reproach, that he can be reprimanded. He can be publicly embarrassed. I mean, they yanked him in the middle of the game. That's about as embarrassing as it gets. Sit down. I think it works. I think it works. I think it was the right move, and I'm glad Acuna handled it the way that he did. And if this is a teaching moment for that clubhouse and for Acuna, it's the perfect move. It's the perfect move. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Dixieland Dan tweets, yep, about time that your days off caught up with you, DA. All those Fridays you left us alone with Uncle Gresh and Grandpa Jody drinking Miller Lite and smoking Lucky Strikes in the corner, playing online poker and betting on the ponies. Now you actually got to do work on Labor Day. Well, I'm happy to come in on Labor Day and to do the show because we got college football across the entire weekend. And Labor Day weekend's one of the best college football weekends we have. You got games on Thursday, games on Friday, games on Saturday, sometimes games on Sunday night, sometimes games on Monday. So I'm ready to roll. And yeah, all right, sure. You know, there might have been one too many Jody Fridays around here. There might have been.
The da.
Might have been one too many Jodys. But we got through it together, didn't we? We're almost at the end of the summer. It's going to be full steam ahead in football season. I got to give up my firstborn if I want to take off any days during football season. So you're going to hear me 6 days a week throughout football season. And because there was probably one too many Jody Fridays, I'm probably going to be working Thanksgiving morning and Thanksgiving Friday morning and Christmas Eve morning and Christmas morning. No, I'll probably get one of those off, but you're definitely seeing me the Friday after Thanksgiving.
All right. That's a nice touch.
Yeah. And, you know, and definitely at Christmas Eve.
You're not seeing me either of those days. So have fun.
Oh, I'm sure of that. And all I want for Christmas, honestly, is the Jody Mac montage. If I get that, I'm good.
Merry Christmas.
That cough sounds like aqueduct.
Ugh. That cough sounds like aqueduct smells. Marty Moose Knuckle tweets.
I'm sure he does.
He tweets, maybe Mraz should eat a tablespoon of salt for every pick Daniel Jones throws. He's obviously an expert on both.
I'm sure he does. Oh, you got a Jody Mac off.
Oh, you Jerry. Jerry, you're so funny.
He's got your camera.
You're so funny, Jerry. Oh, man. Oh, wait.
He's got your camera.
That Jody Mac montage, that's so damn funny.
By the way, Bogus saying I'm sure he does is way funnier than Jerry Jones saying Siku.
Oh, damn, Jerry. Dwayne tweets, please have, you got that on camera, as a sound drop on the show.
He's got that on camera.
You got that on camera. Oh, damn, Jerry. you're a real hootenanny, you know that? You're a real card. Oh, man. You sure cut up a room. You get that on camera, guys.
He's got that on camera.
Get that on camera. Oh, man, you're regular old Jack in the Box, aren't you? you just turned that little lever. Out comes Jerry Jones. Hey, yeah. Oh, make him laugh. Oh, man.
He's got you on camera.
You got to get hit on camera.
When we come back, we've got the story that did not make the cut. That is your cut line, plus your epic fail, as Mraz and I have a duel to the death over Danny Dimes. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Don't say, I always listen to my mother. I'm not listening to my mother. Told me to bring up the clothes that were folded downstairs to all the bedrooms. Guess who didn't do it? Me. Because I'm a man and I don't listen to my mother. I'm a man. You don't tell me to bring up clothes that were folded for other people in the house. No way. You let them sit on that couch. I'm going to have a guest book the rest of the week. How about I give her some numbers? You go book a guest, Mom. How about that?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Mraz is a new homeowner. Spent the weekend moving into his new house, doing a lot of construction. I saw that all over a social media page, so I think tomorrow, Mraz, we might dive into your first weekend as a homeowner.
Sounds good, because there's a lot to dive into.
You can always listen to the show on your phone. Stream us using radio.com or Apple Music or the CBS Sports app. And you can also watch us on your phone at watchda.com. Our question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Adrian in Boise tweets in, DA, as an Ask the Pros Day, which NFL team would you say is the least dysfunctional or has the least amount of drama? Usually the Patriots. And even if they have drama, they cover it up better than anybody else. It is one of the reasons the Pats have been so good for so long. Look, they have a head coach that knows how to cover up the bodies. He just does. He's the best eraser going. You know? Like, the mafia has these types of guys that they know how to get rid of the bodies. And Belichick's the best at it. He's the best. And he's been nailed, and people know he's guilty of things, but they still, you know, they just, he's always a step ahead. He's consistently a step ahead, and they know how to bury bodies better than anywhere else is the Patriots. So even when they have drama, they also have a quarterback that erases a lot of your problems, and they have a quarterback that always says all of the right things. It always does all of the right things, and with that, they just routinely have the least drama, even though they're one of the most scrutinized teams. They always seemingly have the least amount of drama in the NFL. The most is the Browns. Historically, the Browns, whether it's ownership, general managers, coaches, players, draft picks, just nonsense on top of nonsense. Let's get to the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee, cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's The Cut Line.
So during the Vikings and Seahawks preseason game over the weekend, Fox flashed a really interesting graphic. The best win percentage by quarterbacks of at least 10 starts over the last 5 years. Now these are against teams with winning records. So in other words, who's the best quarterback at beating good teams? Against teams with winning records, Tom Brady, unsurprisingly, is number one. Ben Roethlisberger, number two. And you'll never guess who number three is. Marcus Mariota. Mariota has the third best win percentage over the last 5 years against winning teams. Now, it's only 12-11, a game over 500. for a 522 win percentage. But who would have ever thought? We never think of Marcus Mariota as a quote-unquote winner. Certainly not of the Brady and Roethlisberger category. And here he is with that stat. So that's pretty impressive. But the bottom part of this is number 34, Kirk Cousins, who is 5-22 against teams with winning records. That's good for a 185 win percentage. So what is more eye-popping there? You know, it's interesting that Mariota is number three, but, you know, he's only a game over 500. He's basically a 500 quarterback against teams with winning records. Better than you probably thought, but to me, that's not enough to write home about. The fact that Kirk Cousins is going to make $90 million guaranteed. This guy's going to make $90 million guaranteed and has only beaten a winning team five times in his career. 5-22. Kirk Cousins is a really nice guy. Kirk Cousins is really bad against good teams. And that is astounding. How could Vikings fans possibly believe that they've got a champion under center when you just put it that way? Over the last 5 years, Kirk Cousins is 5-22.
Kirk Cousins.
Against teams with winning records. Oh, my God.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, what could go wrong with Dwight Howard back to the Lakers? After DeMarcus Cousins goes down with another ACL tear, the Lakers have apparently shown interest in Dwight Howard. Number one, I feel terrible for Boogie Cousins. Because, Boogie, think about this career, how star-crossed this is. He gets drafted by the Kings, and the Kings are basically a mess. Just a total mess for the first, 7 years of his career? And he is the best player on a mess of a franchise. And so he ends up playing, and granted, he didn't do himself any favors with some of the mess that he put himself in, but he's just surrounded by losing and dysfunction. So then he finally gets to a winner after being injured again when he goes to New Orleans. He goes to the Pelicans, plays with Anthony Davis, finally starts turning it around, looked like they might be something interesting, and he gets injured, right? Okay, so now suddenly that one chance to be part of a winner blows up in his face. He signs a one-year deal with the Warriors, and there's a guarantee he's going to be playing in the NBA playoffs and probably the NBA finals. And he gets injured in the regular season, and then by the time he's ready in the postseason, well, he is injured in the regular season, finally rehabs, comes back, gets back for the postseason, and then game number two gets injured again. Game number two! So he's got no way to, like, build up stamina or experience or understand the speed of the game. Comes back into the NBA Finals, and boom, it's a train wreck. So now he signs with the Lakers, and they're going to be an exciting team. Now he's finally healthy again. He's going to be playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis. And you know what? DeMarcus Cousins has a chance to be a real contributor to a really good team regularly and tears his ACL again. I mean, you always worry about big men and foot problems and leg problems, and it feels like Boogie is now down that road again. But for a guy that I know he hasn't been a perfect saint, you got to feel for him. And for Dwight Howard, I mean, I'm surprised actually that he was as productive as he was the last time that he played a full season. He averaged 16-12 2 years ago. So last year he only played in 9 games. You know, if he stays healthy, but there's a huge if. I mean, there's a reason Dwight Howard nobody wants is because he's a head case and he can't stay healthy at this point in his career. But if he can stay healthy and somehow Dwight Howard has, I don't know, learned a few lessons, and maybe he can be a good fit. I don't know. I just feel like inevitably it's going to end poorly and LeBron James basically going to slap him in the back of the head and Dwight Howard's going to start crying and, you know, run away, become some type of runaway from the Lakers organization. I mean, it just feels inevitably going to end bad. But there is a way, actually, for Dwight Howard to somehow rehab his career at the very tail end.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, What two teams are attracting the most bets to win the Super Bowl? Why do you guys do this to yourselves? Number one, the Bears. Number two, the Browns. The Bears haven't won a Super Bowl since 85. The Browns have never been to a Super Bowl. And there's more bets on those two teams to win a Super Bowl than any other team. The Chiefs are at three. Again, another cursed franchise. The Patriots and Rams are 8-9. You know, wouldn't this just be so classic where we get Pats and Rams again? Year number two. And they're number 8-9 in bets total. This is not all just average sports fans or bettors, gamblers. There's a ton of Chicago fans that are really hyped up about the season and a ton of Browns fans that are as well. Don't do this to yourselves. If you win the Super Bowl, God bless, great. I hope it happens. But do you really want to jinx it by betting on it?
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And it's not like history has been kind to those two franchises. Now let's get to your cut line. Mraz has watched two preseason football games, two, and has already declared Daniel Jones, rookie quarterback for the Giants, the next Hall of Famer and the best player in the draft.
Even the DH is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Come on.
He's comfortable in the pocket.
You're telling you have even said this could be a Favre to Rodgers situation.
Yes.
You are comparing a guy that has thrown 20 passes in the preseason.
To back to pass Jones. Ball, it's getting knocked out of his hands.
You're comparing him to future Hall of Famer.
Because he looks the part.
Like a future Hall of Famer?
Yes.
How could you know that?
Because you just watch the game.
Doesn't matter.
But
everything out there doesn't matter.
His performance does. And the Giants got themselves a big problem as they turn it over for the second time tonight.
There's plenty of quarterbacks.
But they don't have the ball accuracy.
Yes. This happens every year. There's crappy quarterbacks every year in the preseason that look great. Every freaking year. Mraz, you've watched football for 25 years.
I have.
Every preseason this happens. There's quarterbacks that look good and they stink.
And there's quarterbacks that look great and they're great. And Daniel Jones looks like he's going to be great. Quickly up to the line of scrimmage. Jones fumbles the snap and the Bears recover. He can move out of the pocket, move the huddle. The guy should be starting day one already. The Giants nailed this. They nailed it. Everybody killed them on draft day for taking Daniel Jones sixth overall. We're heading towards opening day, and the Giants got the best player in the 2019 draft.
Jones never got a handle on the snap.
How
and
could
they
you
are
say
laughing
that?
At
How
the rest
could
of
you
the
say
league.
That? How could you
because
possibly
Because I've seen
say
2 weeks of
okay.
preseason.
Yeah. Well, that's all
Quinton
that matters.
Williams, cute little player. Nick Bosa can't get on
do
the field.
Do you think 2 weeks into the preseason you could have said Aaron Donald's the best player in this draft?
You probably could have. Or
Odell
Beckham.
Come on. There's no way you would have been able to say that.
Quarterback's
no way.
A little different.
Well, every year, whoever is the backup to Tom Brady looks good in the preseason, and suddenly they go, well, he's the next franchise quarterback, and they all stink. They all stink.
Jones finishing 11 of 14 for 161 yards, but also lost two fumbles.
But how many other first-round picks?
Suddenly Daniel Jones is now God's gift to quarterback because you've seen him throw two touchdowns. Two. Here's the shame. This is why I'm mad at you. Is because now I've got to root against Daniel Jones
just
to shove it in your face
because
this is so premature.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Mraz is calling Daniel Jones a future Hall of Famer already. I mean, I can't even believe I'm talking about this. Our friend Mark Zinno down in Atlanta tweets, and he's been listening to the show. DA, the whole Acuna thing is about context. If this is against the Marlins, it's treated totally differently. It's the Dodgers, though, the team they're likely to see in the NLCS. It's easier to forgive when the opponent isn't better than you. Fair point by Zinno. I don't mind Snitker doing this at all. I don't mind it. Had it happened against the Marlins or against the Dodgers. Whatever. Acuna is one of the best players in baseball. He's still in his early 20s. He clearly should have been hustling a little bit out of the box. He might be your best player, but you know what? Sending that message in the middle of the game is Snitker preparing for the postseason and preparing to have his team on high alert and that everybody can be yanked out of a game if they don't hustle. If it can happen to Acuna, it can happen to anybody. I think Snitker did the right thing. So what happens with Antonio Brown by tomorrow? I mean, we're definitely leading the show with it tomorrow, right? I mean, that's just kind of inevitable. Every day for 3 weeks, we've been leading with Antonio Brown. What's going to be the next thing? Tomorrow, by the way, we have Dino Babers, who's going to join us here on the program, head coach at Syracuse. He authored a 10-win season last year, which is just crazy to think about considering the dumpster fire he inherited. And now, SU has actually been picked as the second-best team in the ACC behind Clemson. Now, there's obviously a huge drop, but Syracuse gets Clemson at home in their home opener, which is pretty insane. I believe it's the home opener. But anyway, they get them at home, and that's been a place where it's been difficult for top-tier teams, top-ranked teams, to come in and play. And so, really, maybe the toughest scheduled game on Clemson's docket is at the Carrier Dome. We will talk about it with Dino Babers tomorrow here on the show. That'll do it for us this morning here on the program. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Catlin at WatchDA.com with a simulcast. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Trash Tuesday tomorrow. We'll see you then. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.